Most Christians end up halfway between bondage and victory. Jesus never died for us to be halfway to anything that he offers. He wants us to go all the way through. Do you ever feel like maybe you're stuck kind of in the middle somewhere? You sure don't want to go back to what you came out of, but you're not quite sure you can make it all the way through to the finish. I know I used to feel like that. It was like, my God, you've done too much for me to ever go back, but I'm not sure that I can hang on till I get all the way through. Don't be mediocre. Don't be lukewarm. Jesus has some very scathing words in Revelation 3 to say to the lukewarm. He said, I would rather that you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I don't think that means that lukewarm people lose their salvation, but I think it just means it's very distasteful to God when we're not totally on fire for him and the things that concern God. I've been reading a lot of books recently by a man named A.B. Simpson, who's gone home to be with the Lord almost 100 years ago. And one of the things he said that impressed me was that one of the first signs of a spirit-filled life is enthusiasm. I love that. And we need to be enthusiastic about spiritual maturity. We need to be enthusiastic about growing up in God. We need to be enthusiastic about even dying to self, because every time we die to self, we get a little bit freer and we glorify God just a little bit more. Be enthusiastic about obedience. Don't groan when the minister says, today I'm going to teach on obedience. Don't groan when the minister says, today I'm going to teach on discipline and self-control. I can go to a conference and say, well, today I'm going to teach on discipline and self-control. You haven't heard anything. Do you hear about 15,000 women groan? We need to say, great, awesome. I'm enthusiastic about that. The Bible says in Revelation, even when God is correcting us and chastising us, that we should be enthusiastic about it. There's no place worse to live than in deception, thinking that everybody else is the problem when really it's us. Jesus never intended us to be halfway to the best that he offers. Let's look at Hebrews 6:11. But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through. Everybody say, I'm going all the way through. In realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end. So he's saying, if you want to really realize, if you want to do more than just talk about the promises of God, if you really want to experience those promises in your life, then you have to go all the way through with God. Well, what keeps people from going all the way through? Well, we're usually pretty okay until it starts to be costly, until it hurts, until it's not convenient, until it's not comfortable. Until maybe we're the only one that's trying to walk that path that we know, and it gets kind of lonely. And then we turn around and go back in the other direction. Don't settle someplace where that's really not the best place, because going on is uncomfortable. Let's look at Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. This caught my eye many years ago, and it teaches me a lesson. You know, we think about Abraham and how God called Abraham out and wanted to make a covenant with him. But I don't believe that Abraham was the first man that God made that offer to. I think that God was just looking for somebody, anybody, that would go all the way through. Verse 31, and Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his grandson and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together to go to Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. That's sad. I don't know if you know it or not, but that one little but there is where they gave up. They were on their way somewhere, but when they got to this other place, maybe they were tired. Maybe the journey had taken longer than they thought it would. Maybe some of the other folks had quit a ways back, and they didn't want to be the only one that was going to press through and pay the price to go all the way through to the victory. Who knows what makes a person give up? I wish that I knew what that thing is in people, that some people will take hold of God way down deep inside them, and they'll press through anything to have victory, and other people are so wimpy and whiny that it doesn't take hardly anything, and they quit and give up. I wish that I could tell you where that little magic button is, where that little place is. And I wish that anybody that was missing it, I could implant one in them. But it's something that's inside of you that only you can find with you and God, and only you can make the decision. That's why the Bible says, I set before each one of you life and death. Now you choose. The story I told you last night about me and my brother. We both had the same level of education. We both grew up in the same house. My circumstances really in the natural were much worse than his. And he never could or wouldn't get hold of that determination, whereas I did. Not because I was a special case, because the promises of God are for whosoever will. And if I can't get you to believe that, then you're never going to have victory. Because if you think it's for everybody but you, then you're not going to have what God wants you to have, and you'll always live halfway between bondage and victory. Limping along, looking at everybody else who's made it and being jealous and resentful. We honor God by going on to full maturity in Christ. Even if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for Him. We honor God by going all the way through. Romans 8:29 says we are destined, foreordained to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the Bible calls us clay and God the potter. And if I'm this piece of clay, what's happening to me right now is not very comfortable. My shape's being changed. My form is being changed. I don't think I like it. I don't know that I was ready for this. And this is a pathetic example, but we're going to say that this is the image of Christ. They tried to make me a Jesus cookie cutter, but it looked worse than this. So Christ comes and says, you're destined. It's your destiny to be like me. It's your destiny to have your character transformed so you can think like me and want what I want and act the way I act and think the way I think and feel the way I feel. It's your destiny. And you know, when something is your destiny, I don't care what you do, you're never going to be happy without it. Do you know that? You either will, and I either will, do the will of God, or I will be miserable. You think you're going to be happy if you get your way? You won't be happy if you get your way, if your way is not God's way. It just won't work. God is smarter than we are. And His idea is better than ours. So let's just say that I even come to the point where I say, yes, God, yes, maybe in a high spiritual moment when I've just heard CeCe sing. Pouring out my alabaster box. I feel it right there. It is right now. So we have that time when we say, yes, God, make me what you want me to be. And so, thank you. Now, there's only one problem with this. There's too much of me. So here's what has to happen. The attitude's got to go. The stinking thinking's got to go. The big mouth has got to go. The selfish self-centeredness has got to go. The anger's got to go. The unforgiveness has got to go. That's got to go. I don't know what it is, but it's got to go. And finally, there we are. Amen. We are called saints, not saintlets. Oh, you sweet little saintlet, you. No, the Bible calls us saints and priests of God Almighty. Warriors. Well, if I want to go from being a saintlet to a saint, could you please tell me, Joyce, what's it going to cost me? What are going to be the consequences if I say yes? What's going to happen if when you leave here today, you really say sincerely to God, okay, God, I don't even really know what I'm saying yes to, but do I have the guts to say it? Mold me into your image. Make me what you want me to be. If I'm asking you for anything that's not your will, God, please don't give it to me. Your will be done, not mine. If you say that, once you say it, you don't get it back. I mean, God's like one of these final contract guys. It's like, your word, your bond, you said it, that's the way it is. And he goes to work. And oh, we'd love it if he works on everybody else, but sadly, he works on us. And a lot of times we think, is there not anything wrong with anybody in the universe but me? I used to get so frustrated when I would say to Dave, isn't God dealing with you about anything? And he'd say, no, I don't think so. And I would be like, eh. Is it going to hurt? Will it be safe? Well, you know, I've never seen a comfortable, padded, convenient cross yet. What if Jesus would have went to the cross and said, oh, whoa, wait a minute. I want some padding. You know, the cross always means death, but it also means resurrection. What do we think when we look at the cross? We can't just think resurrection. Thank God for Sunday, but you got to go through Friday to get to Sunday. You can't bypass Friday and have Sunday. It don't work that way. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday! Saturday. Sunday. On Friday, Jesus hung on the cross and suffered, but on Sunday, the cross was empty. Hallelujah, he is risen. What happened during that period of time between Friday and Sunday? He took the keys of hell and death away from Satan. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the wicked one. He didn't need to do it for himself. He did it for you. He did it for me. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that I don't have to be a saintlet, that I don't have to live halfway to the best that God has for me. Why did the Holy Spirit come? To give me the power to go all the way through with God. You don't need Holy Ghost power to give up. Anybody can do that. But we need power to go all the way through with God. Dying is a rather painful thing. You know, I could say in one of my sermons, I had to die to my reputation. And everybody clapped. That sounds so spiritual, so deeply spiritual. Yes, I died to my reputation. But it was about 1,000 trips to hell to get to the point where I don't care that much what people think anymore or what they say. I'm going to follow God and do what He says. If it means I don't have one person on this earth who's for me. Is it totally over? Oh, no. I get refresher courses all the time. I tell you what, that fear of man is so tormenting. So tormenting. Stop slamming on the brakes every time it gets uncomfortable. Every one of you has something. Most everybody in this room today can think of something right now that God is trying to get you to go ahead and go all the way through. And I'm encouraging you today to do it and get it over with. When going on is hard, say this: I can have the pain of discipline today, or I can have the pain of regret tomorrow. Amen. That's tweetable. See, I know all these new fancy words. Okay, now I want to talk to you very practically this afternoon about this dying to self stuff. Because it's cute to say it. I could go read you all the scriptures, lose sight of yourself, forget yourself, all your own interest, take up your cross and follow me, and we all feel so spiritual. If you're going to say yes to God and no to self, then it means that you have to get mentally prepared to suffer. Now, there's no point in me standing up here lying to you and say, please pass in front of the altar and let me wave my holy hand over every one of you and you'll go home and be free. But I believe I can tell you the truth, that God has got something so wonderful on the other side of that cross waiting for you. And you can either have the pain of going forward, or you can have a worse pain, which is staying where you're at the rest of your life. I'd much rather have the pain of progress than the pain of stagnation. Amen? And I don't want to make it sound like that it's just nothing but a life of suffering, because it's not. Every time you go through and you come out on the other side, man, it's a celebration and a victory. And you've got something behind you that the devil no longer can hold over you. It's not freedom to have to get mad every time you don't get your way. Freedom is when I want Dave to do something or not to do something, and he says, no, I don't want to do that. And I can say, okay. That's freedom. That's freedom when I don't have to be mad for 4 days and start 3 arguments and get all upset and feel sorry for myself and blame him. It's like, okay. Well, how did you get there, Joyce? Dying. Pain. You say, you say, well, what do you mean? Well, it kind of goes like this. You know, it's like when God started dealing with me about not having a smart aleck attitude and talking back to Dave all the time. You know, I always had to have the last word. Yeah, well, you know, you think you're right about everything. My only job really was to shut my mouth. Well, you know, I was just like a pressure cooker. I mean, it was like when I would get angry, it was like all this pressure would build up in me. And oh my gosh, it was right here. And the Holy Ghost inside is going. And Dave's standing there with his smug little look on his face, and I'm thinking, well, now here's what happens. If I would relieve the pressure. But then I had to go one more time around that stupid mountain. Or 100 more times. And when I finally got to the point where it was like,
help me, God, help me, help me.
I honestly remember, and I'm not exaggerating, I remember one time running down the hall of my house, locking myself in the bathroom, and sticking my face in a bath towel and going... I did that. I mean, I wanted to talk back so bad, and I knew God was telling me, don't talk back, don't talk back, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Well, if when I would go ahead and endure that, then a little bit of that would die. Because, see, anything you don't feed will die. And every time we give in to it, we feed it. Every time we give in to the flesh, we feed it. That's what the Bible means when it says, deny yourself. It doesn't mean that you can't get your fingernails done and you can't get a pedicure and you can't have a new pair of earrings and you got to have a lousy life. Deny yourself means if God's saying to zip your lip, then zip your lip. If God's telling you to lose the bad attitude, then lose the bad attitude. If God's telling you to go apologize to somebody, don't argue with him for 10 weeks. Just go do it. Woo, hallelujah. Set your mind and keep it set. I love that in Colossians 3. Set your mind and keep it set. My husband is great at mindsets. He thinks about things ahead of time and he sets his mind. Now, Dave wasn't feeling too good earlier in the year. Matter of fact, he was feeling pretty bad. He was kind of having these spells where he would get real jittery and hyper, like he couldn't really calm down and settle down. And that's just not like him. You know, Lord only knows we don't want Dave hyper, right? We got enough of that on this end. And long story short, really with a lot of testing and a whole bunch of stuff, we found out that he's just real sensitive to sugar. And so all of a sudden now, at least for 6 months, he's not supposed to eat any sugar or anything that's got sugar in it. Now, he's already about 3 months into it. Now, as God is my witness, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have not heard that man murmur or complain or even mildly mutter about not being able to eat sugar in that whole time. Nor will I hear him murmur and complain. I say to him, do you miss sugar? No. He said, what's the point? I can't eat it. What's the point in missing it? I can't eat it. But Joyce, I can't help the way I feel. But see, how we feel is connected to how we think. So when you get the right mindset, then the rest of it just follows along with it. And so he's just very practical. I can't eat sugar, so I won't eat sugar. I said to him, you know, because we're getting older and things don't always function the same way they did before, although we're doing great. And I said to him, how are you going to feel about it, Dave, if you ever get to the point where you can't play golf? He said, I've already thought that over. And he said, I've already got my mind set. It'll be okay. I'll just do something else. Well, see, he's already preset for victory. And what a lot of us do is we preset ourselves for failure and fits and depression and anxiety. If this happens one more time, I'm going to blow. So if you're going to grow up in God and get over being a saintlet and become a saint, you better get some mindsets. This is not going to be easy. It's going to cost me. It's going to hurt. But I am going all the way through with God. I am going to be somebody that he can be proud of. I'm going to be somebody that puts a smile on God's face. I'm not going to be halfway between failure and victory. I'm going all the way through. Come on, can anybody get this spirit with me today? I'm going all the way through with God.